Donald Fisher.
I'm expecting anyone else.
Not usually, no.
There we go. Meeting called to order at 5:00. We have a quorum present. First item on the agenda, consent. Do we have any consent issues? Okay, let's move on to the minutes of our October 18 meeting. Do we have any comments, corrections? I have a motion to accept the minutes as written. We have a motion. We have a second. Second, Lauren. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are accepted. Move on to reports. First item is the tech services report.
So
for November.
Yeah, we've asked Marcy and Stephanie in to share all the work they've been doing in tech services, and they give us a little year in review. So I'll turn it over to them to walk us through it.
Thank you. First off, I apologize for the small font on the report. I had to go print it larger for myself because my eyes are bad. First, I wanted to share with you some statistics of how many items we added and ordered in fiscal year 2018 as compared to fiscal year 2017. So there was a slight uptick, not too much of an uptick because our budget remained static over those years. The only very large uptick was the amount of items that were deleted from our catalog. I was able to do that because of the migration to COHA broke the link between lost and missing items in a patron's account. And so that allowed us to get rid of some of the items that were just lingering in the catalog that were no longer available. We did have some staffing changes in this past year. Christy Tebbets, who is one of our library assistants at Hall, joined tech services as our acquisitions tech. And she's been a wonderful asset, has a background in bookkeeping, and really keeps things on top of things in acquisitions. And then most recently, in the staffing reorganization that we just had, we gained a librarian, Laura Compton. And we're really excited to see how that's going to benefit tech services, because she knows the juvenile collections very intimately. There are some special projects that I think her unique knowledge will really help us accomplish. One of those is the establishment of the Middle Zone collection, which is slotted to happen later this year. And then eventually we'll be doing in-house leveling for Easy Readers. And so her knowledge will be invaluable for helping us do that. We also brought in a volunteer to help us catalog some genealogy donations. Those donations are lowest priority for us to catalog, and genealogy in general is lower priority than bestsellers and juvenile materials. And so we frequently had a backlog in the cataloging of the donations. So it's been really helpful to have Pamela coming once a week to help us keep caught up with that. We did have a rather busy year. Just some highlights of what we accomplished last year. We created a new fund for cataloging and processing charges, and this helped our selectors be able to manage their budget without having to do spreadsheet math on the charges that our vendors assess for the cataloging and processing that they do for us. It was actually quite a long, drawn-out process to get that set up, and it involved our vendors working with Bywater, who helps manage COHA for us. We also picked up Ingram as a secondary book vendor, and that really benefited us when we go to backfill series because they have very large warehouses, unlike BroadArt, who has, BroadArt is really good for new releases, and they have really great customer service, and they really customize their cataloging and processing for us. But since they don't have huge warehouses, it was really hard to backfill series, and especially in the juvenile fiction area. So Ingram has really helped us fill that gap. We did add a couple of new collections in this past year. The bilingual collection is primarily, I think it's all children's books at this point, but they have parallel text in English and a foreign language. And I've listed some of the languages that we were able to add. The other new collection that we added was the adult book club kits. And these books primarily were books that we were using for the McKinney book discussion group. And so we would buy those unprocessed, and then after the book discussion group has their meeting, we put those in a kit that's kind of an all-in-one book club that you can check out in a vinyl carrying case, and it has the discussion questions and author bios. And Stephanie did all the legwork on that, so she worked really hard to get that going. The other major project that we did was sending our bid records out for enhancement and authority work. So that just made sure that all of our subject headings and the names were in the authorized form. And then it also added accelerated reader and Lexile to about 48,000 records were upgraded with that information.
And that's really important because as schools send kids with, you know, assignments and their parents understand it, you know, the AR numbers and the Lexiles from classwork, it's not a number that we typically deal in, but now we have that option.
Yeah, so we have that there in the Lexile as well. And that information, we do have access to that through Novelist, but it's convenient to have it in our bib records. So. The other thing, you may be familiar with Cloud Library, we're now part of a consortium called CloudLink, which gives our cardholders access to over 100,000 items. It's really expanded the amount of items that we have available through CloudLink. And then most recently, COHA and Cloud Library have become integrated so that people can check out and place holds on Cloud Library items that we own through the COHA catalog. Now they can't see items that we don't own that are part of the consortium. For that, you have to access it through the app. But the items that we purchase will show up in COHA. So that's kind of a little highlight of what we did last year. In the coming year, our main focus is now that all of my staff is involved in programming. Stephanie's on the teen team. There's a couple of us on the outreach team, and then a couple of us on the youth team, and one on the adult team. So, actually, two on the adult team. So we have a little bit of every team in my department. So we're all looking forward to taking on some new roles and new responsibilities. I have been very impressed with how receptive and willing my staff has been to take this on. DJ and Ann have stepped in to kind of figure out how ESL runs, because that's a huge program that will need people to keep it going.
The librarian who's currently and forever been responsible for that program is retiring in January.
Yeah.
And so we're needing to transfer knowledge and get more people involved.
And then Christy has just done fantastic on the outreach team. I've just been really impressed with her you know, her leadership skills and just jumping in there and driving Olive to wherever we need to go. So our big goal is then to continuously streamline our processes so that we're able to continue to get books out quickly for our patrons, because of course that doesn't go away with new responsibilities. So we've been doing a lot at looking at our workflow and deciding what steps we can cut out or streamline and maybe utilize staffing a little bit smarter. So that's probably the biggest project going into this coming year. The book budget did increase, so of course that will increase the number of items that we're handling. $23,000 overall. I'm really excited about the special projects fund. I think 9,000 of it is going to go for one-time collection enhancement projects. And so we've asked the selectors to think of kind of a shot in the arm type thing that maybe we need to backfill series, or maybe the 600s are a little outdated and we want to really bring in those resources up to date. So I'm excited to see what they come up with on that project. And then the two major collection projects coming up would be the creation of the middle grade collection, which will be a bridge between juvenile fiction and young adult. And then the following year, we're going to start working on adding additional genres in our adult fiction collection.
What kind of things would that be? I mean, I can't imagine something we haven't got.
Well, right now, we have three different collections in the fiction. We have science fiction, mystery, and fiction.
Right.
But within those collections, there's books on
romance,
Westerns, or inspirational fiction, or historical fiction. So we want to figure out, you know, what do our users, how would they like to browse our collections in a way that makes sense?
That's interesting. Okay, my reaction to that is, now I got to go to two places to find something.
Possibly.
rather than one way.
The flip side is say inspirational fiction.
Yeah.
It co-locates all the inspirational fiction authors that are currently spread out throughout the entire fiction section.
Yeah.
So the person who whose primary reading topic is that, they just browse one range instead of having to walk through seven shelves.
I'm curious, $23,000 at the going rate you see on the books, that gets you about 800 books at list. What does that translate to as far as our purchasing power is concerned?
We actually get
a pretty decent,
I'd say about 40% is our standard discount from Brodart and Ingram. There's a little bit of variance.
Yeah.
Some publishers, some types of materials don't have that heavy of a discount, but on most of the major publishers and the bestsellers, we get about a 40% discount.
Foreign language is not really discounted much at all.
Yeah, foreign language, and then some more like computer books don't really have that large of a discount.
So if you look at this, new items added in FY 2018 is 23,419.
Okay.
We had $427,000.
Yes.
To spend on that, so that breaks down the average of where that is. And that includes the processing of the book and the purchase of the record for the book and all that wrapped up in there.
Yes.
And now physically, your staff is all located here?
Yes, Tech Services is all located here.
Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead, Joe.
And I don't know whether I should address this to you or not, Stephanie. The adult book club kits, how many titles do you have available now, approximately?
I think right now it's 16 at the moment.
Oh, really? Okay, so that's quite a bit more than the last time I checked.
Yes, so we waited until we had quite a few before launching it.
Okay.
And then each month, as the other book club is done with them, then we create, so each month it grows by one.
Very good. That's really nice. Now, I was always interested in that from the beginning, because I'd done that at my previous library, so I'm really glad.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does a book club get on the list and get approved?
Right.
You know, like there's a bunch of guys that I meet with, and there's a book club.
Yeah.
That's part
yeah.
of it.
Yeah,
you know,
book club.
This is the library runs a book club.
So this is
here.
The library.
This is the library's book club,
gotcha.
And the member, it's open to all members of the public.
Okay.
And the members every year vote on the titles that they would like to include okay. in the next
but
calendar.
But are you looking, Peter, for how you get on the list to get the book club in a bag kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess you just contact you guys, huh?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. they're all in the catalog, so you can mm-hmm. search for the titles or search by that specific
okay.
Item type, which is
okay. Well, maybe the guy who runs it. How about if I get him in touch with
yeah,
you?
Sure.
Because
okay. they meet every month. And they're looking at nonfiction. They're looking at
yeah.
even
mm-hmm.
occasionally fiction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mostly historical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bunch of old geezers are interested in
yeah.
military history.
Yeah, we have some nonfiction and fiction, and
yeah.
we have some more business-related yeah. and leadership books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
So, yeah.
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I have to put in my plug for TV DVDs.
Yes.
As we look at genres.
Yes. John is our DVD selector, and he should be expanding that. What you'll see, what are the latest ones?
Well, what happened was I got spoiled. Somebody donated the entire PBS British Mystery Collection to the library in Bar Harbor. And we go to Bar Harbor every year, and I have a library card there, and so we
right.
just enjoyed the heck out of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And came back, and I quickly scanned what we have, and didn't find anything. So I started to needle
yeah.
Spencer on that.
Yeah, typically, he'll get premium cable TV shows, so HBO, okay. Showtime, Stars,
yeah.
And then dipping his toe into FX. We do have Downton Abbey.
Okay.
And some things like that, but I know that's on his list too.
Yeah, I mean, Acorn is a big distributor, and
yes,
was it IDM? IM? I don't know.
Yes, yes, we do. Whether or not they're ever checked in is a different story, but we do have them, and that's one of those things where we will make sure John reads these minutes and maybe puts together a proposal for a collection enhancement
yeah.
project.
That would be great.
That
would be a great project.
That would be one of those things where
good.
He can spend a chunk of money and solve a problem.
Make sure that one makes the doesn't end up on the cutting doesn't end up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. You know?
Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Any other questions? Okay. Moving along to the director's report.
All right. In an effort to continue to never give you the same style report twice,
yeah, I love it.
I figured I'd. We've had a push with staff to take photos of our programs. So when we build our next spring calendar, which should be coming out soon, we will have actual photos of actual McKinney programs illustrating the calendar. And so I thought I'd put some of those in a report for you guys. On the first page, that's the Pitmaster 101 class, where it was really cold and rainy, but we brought him inside. We had 50 people attend.
Really?
And he walked them through everything from what questions to ask when you're buying a brisket to what the parts of the brisket are, how to cut it up, how to work a smoker, and then he had samples at the end. There's actually a photo right before the samples, everyone's sitting down, and then right after the samples, they're all just right over there around it. And he was from Tender Smokehouse in Salina,
okay.
Which is one of the ones Texas Monthly named as the best barbecue places in Texas. And it was really easy to work with. Trevor Naughton coordinated that program. So with our focus on programming, getting around town, youth program attendance versus last October is up 19%, and adult programming attendance was up almost 200%. And this next picture, that is our adult spelling bee that happened in October at Tupps. So Trevor is the person on the far right. John, who orders our DVDs, is the person on the left, if you ever want to catch him when you're at John and Judy Gay.
Oh, yeah,
say,
I see him over there all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then in the center is the winner of the contest. She won on the word heliotrope.
Mm.
So I think we had 17 participants,
wow.
So it grew from last year, and a lot of people in the audience. And so with this outreach and with early voting, which is a big deal, they said I think almost 20,000 people voted at John and Judy Gay Library during the period. Now, some of that came in November,
yeah.
But October did see a 42% increase in visits, and at both libraries there was an increase in visits. And we saw a 10% increase in physical materials checkouts and a 37% increase in digital checkouts.
Yeah, we actually had friends who didn't have a card, and they went over there to vote and got a card.
Yeah, I was, when there was a line, I was signing people up, so right. Making sure. This next picture is from our So You Think You Can Draw program, and the youth team finds some tutorials online for showing kids how to draw, and then as a group, they go through step-by-step drawing. And this picture, not only is it a cute picture of a kid, but that actually looks almost exactly like what they were supposed to draw, and so I was very impressed. Some of the other ones do not look like that. but the kids have fun. They're drawing pretty good numbers.
Well, they could be impressionists.
Could be. So one of the things that we need to work on improving is our volunteer hours kind of took a nosedive. I think what happened is we had some volunteers who were regulars, and then they moved or quit coming, and we haven't replaced them yet. So we're going to focus on really turning this into a place where people know they can come and give back and volunteer time. First step is we've recruited volunteers to do weekly inventories at John and Judy Gay. So we don't open till 1 on Sundays, and this person's coming in and going through the collections and running the inventories on them. And we found, just in a couple of weeks, I think we found 10 books that aren't there. So they haven't been there for a long time. They're probably over here or somewhere else, but now they're put on a missing list, and we're finding them. But that's key, because if we were to walk someone to the shelf and it's not there, we'd like to know that before we take them over there. And the goal is to do that at both locations consistently. Also, the ESL program we mentioned before, I think we're working to figure out a target, and we might want up to 50 volunteers just for that program, because it's multiple classes. We need backup teachers, teen assistants. There's all kinds of opportunities there. And we know there's a demand for places to volunteer here in McKinney, and we just need to get the word out of what we have available. And then on the final page here, we do have this Saturday chess meetup that's been going on, and we've purchased boards to use them, and I think every Saturday they're pretty much at capacity for tables up in the nonfiction section right now. So much so, if you view there now, that whole front range of books, we've shifted to where that front range is empty, and we're going to move it over into the Spanish collection so we can have more room for more tables for the chess. It's all ages, adults and kids. People are very patient with each other. It's going very, very well. We're very pleased with that, and it's very low impact on staff. We set the boards up, we allow the space, we show people where it is, and we have a couple of people with the Texas Chess Association that are members that they came every Saturday, and they said, yeah, we'd love to volunteer to keep coming and play with people. Yeah, that's what they do. We offered 125 programs in October. We registered 781 new members. That, I think, was the line. That was the voting. Getting people in that didn't have cards. That was up about 19% from last October. And again, ebooks in the cloud library is 100,000 items, but with our audiobooks and our magazines and everything else, we're over 110,000 items digitally available right now. For reference, that's about half of our, a little less than half of our total print collection that we're now up to, which 3 years ago, before we joined, the majority of that's the Cloud Consortium. Before we joined that, without that Cloud Consortium, we'd have about 11,000 items. So it's a lot, there's a lot of value there. It only costs us $1,000 a year to be a member, and we have access. Yeah, I know. It is the best value in libraries. Like it's crazy how much that works. So, and our stuff gets checked out by other people, and other people, and we check out other people's stuff. Still, interestingly, the majority of items checked out by McKinney users are McKinney items. So we are still trying. We're meeting quite the need, right. but our focus seems to be right.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of little things here and there, or multiple copies, where our three copies are checked out, but someone else has five copies, and one of theirs is available, it allows someone to get it that way. Trevor, who you saw here, I've mentioned twice now, was also recently promoted to a librarian position. He started with us almost 3 years ago, not that long after I started. And in that time, he got his MLS degree while working here and has really helped with their adult programming. He started in the youth department, moved to adult department. I know he's worked with the Friends on a few things. And now he's part of our programming department, which is Gary Landeck is leading up the programming department. So Trevor's going to run logistics for that, in addition to manning our social media presence, which we're hoping sometime very early in 2019, the library will launch a social media presence of its own under the umbrella of the city, but our stuff won't just be on the city page. We'll have our own. We're not sure what our full... We don't have a date.
Platform yet.
Most likely Facebook, potentially Instagram as a secondary platform. We're still wondering if Twitter has value for us for where we want to start and how we want to communicate and engage. But first and foremost, we need content, and we want, if we're going to do it, we want to be the best library social media presence. So he's in charge of listing and developing content ideas and working through that, because it's not just a marketing advertising piece. There's an engagement component there as well. Okay. And there is no further update on John and Judy Gay.
That's right. You looked over my shoulder.
We have the 50% construction drawings. We should, by the end of this month, approach 90% construction drawings. And that will get us a really good bidding budget to go off of to form a budget. Things are looking good. We're looking within budget right now on the 50%. And those aren't really drilled down, you know, hard, serious bids. So we're anticipating to be in pretty good shape with what we have going on there.
So do you still, when do you anticipate groundbreaking then?
Anticipated, not supposed to put a date on it.
First quarter, second?
Yeah, first quarter.
Right.
Hopefully, end of February, beginning of March, barring another unforeseen issue like we had with the geothermal wells, or something that comes up that, you know, an extra steel tariff that costs three times as much for construction.
And at least at this point, what's the construction time?
It should be a 12 to 13 month construction window.
Okay.
So we're looking at opening first quarter of 2020. Yes, ma'am.
Spencer, have you ever used Nextdoor?
I am familiar with Nextdoor. I am not on it. My wife is. The city is on it. That's one of the platforms that we would look at using. We just, as we're launching, we wanted to maintain quality, so we wanted to keep narrow at first and then have a longer range plan to spread from there.
I put huge announcements on there about Facebook Library.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice because you've got...
It's only local. And
it's local, you know, it's whatever neighborhood it is. You can do it all the neighborhoods around the library and focus on particular groups.
Yes.
And it's a useful like a newsletter or something in our... The sheriff's department posts things now. They post crime reports and things like that. And as you say, the city's putting things on it, and it's kind of handy to be able to see it.
Yeah, and we're working hand in hand with the communications department to develop our strategy as we're going forward. Like I said, as we start, Facebook and Instagram are, you know, it's the same company. So it's easy to pair those two things up and just choose which channel you're going on. But I do see most likely Nextdoor would be a choice well before Twitter, just because of the purpose of the platform.
It's a nice little thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you had any response on the 30th of November?
I believe...
Positive or negative?
I think, including staff, we're at 50 RSVPs.
Okay, good.
For reference, you should have all gotten the invite that's the employee holiday celebration. That while we'd like to have it in McKinney, there's no place in McKinney that could provide anything but a room. So it'll be at the Strikes.
That's the one on Legacy.
Yes.
Yeah, can you just send it out, a reminder to the board?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay. Yes, and you know, our didn't bring guests, spouses, and all.
Yes.
I don't know if we're seeing
that. Yeah, we'll make sure we get that out. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, absolutely.
Since I'm doing the board.
No, that's okay.
Our next meeting is scheduled for.
Excellent. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the next meeting notionally would have been the 20th of December.
Yeah.
We've had meetings, but the board has elected not to have a meeting, so that's a piece of business we ought to take care of today. From your point of view, do we need a meeting?
If the board has business, I don't foresee any major library changes. The only thing is we might have the spring calendar finalized by that point to walk through programs, and those will have started in January.
Okay.
But whether that warrants its own meeting versus just they're available and everybody has access to them, that's a different
story. Well, do we have the flexibility to meet on the 13th? Or is that against charter? I mean, I don't have any idea.
Well, we can call a special meeting as long as we have the appropriate time in advance. Something sticks out to me about the 13th, but I don't know what it is, so let me check my calendar.
But that would even come earlier as far as your spring. Would it be available then?
I don't know that the final
wouldn't be available,
printout
probably,
would be available then.
Okay.
Did we meet last December? I don't recall.
We did because it was early.
Yes, it was early.
Yeah.
The year before we did not.
The year before we did not. That's correct. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess my reaction would be to say, let's not have a meeting. Do we have a motion to that effect?
Motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. So we will then. As you pointed out, we will have our January meeting as scheduled.
Okay, so when's the one that's going to be
January 17th?
At the John Judy Gay? It'll be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's another point is February will likely be the last, unless we want to continue over there during construction, but the rooms are in such high demand.
Yeah.
That we might need to meet here during construction unless we have a special meeting.
And let's play that by ear because I mean we only use the little conference room.
Huh? We do.
But are you going to have more stress for you?
I don't. We don't really know what to expect as far as where things will need to be.
Well, I get. My reaction would be if at all possible we should meet there.
Okay.
But if we can't, that's fine.
That works for me.
Yeah. Okay, so we will not have a meeting in December then. We will have our January meeting. And we'll stay on the cycle, so we'll be back here.
We'll go back here every other one,
Okay, any other business that needs to come? Kevin, any comments? Okay, thank you. Entertain a motion to adjourn?
A motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same opposed, same sign. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.
Have a nice day.